Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. So we are welcoming onto our show today Hilary Ramo, who's an award-winning photographer, artist, writer, healer, radio guru, and she's truly a Renaissance woman. She's a champion of the earth, and her nature photography has won many awards. She's also a healer, Reiki master healer, so that makes her my kind of girl. And she's a mentor to those who are wanting to learn about how to be radio stars in their own right. She's been a champion of alternative media for many years and sort of a leading edge in the voice of alternative media. And she was the voice of the Hilary Ramo show for over a decade, this radio show. And she's collected, luckily for us, she's collected some of her most amazing shows and put them in this book called The Hilary Ramo Show Transcripts. It's full of interviews with some of the most incredible people that she's had on a radio show over those 10 years, some amazing thought leaders on these really hot topics such as new technologies, time travel, UFOs, climate change, the evolution of consciousness and how consciousness and of humanity and technology are tied together. She's got knowledge about cybercurrency and just really has her pulse, her hand on the pulse of how alternative media in general has changed our world, shaped our world, and become such a big deal right now. So welcome, Hilary.
Hi, Lisa. It's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so thrilled. I feel really honored to have, I feel like a little newbie on my radio show. So I'm so happy to have you, even though I've been doing it for 2 years now. And I noticed that one of the things you do is coach and train people who want to be radio stars themselves. I think that's a cool thing to do.
Well, it is an honor on my part to be able to help people find their voice and bring it out to the world. So congratulations on doing it for 2 years. And I was a newbie once too, so I can totally relate.
Yeah. Great. So tell us about how do you sort of pull all of these things you do together and what brought you to write this book?
Oh, well, I don't really think about it too much. I just do what I love, really. That's the formula. And what I've done is I've created a way to make a living out of the things I love to do, which is what most people, strive to do. And in achieving that, I have been able to really just pull things together, and everything kind of happens in projects. And so I just go from one to the other, and really it's just a beautiful flow. Now, the book came about last year. I got the idea to write it, and I had done about 700 plus hours over 13 years. I started on terrestrial radio in 2005 in upstate New York. I did that for 2 years, and then I moved into online radio, and I landed at Achieve Radio, which is a phenomenal network, really great. It's kind of been taken over now by a gentleman who gobbles up all the airtime and promotes his products and stuff like that. But at the time when I was there, it was filled with a lot of different really great voices doing a lot of really great cutting edge things. And I started back in the day when you actually had to put a proposal together and you actually had to approach someone with an idea and really have it laid out, and you might get it, you might not. And nowadays anybody with a computer can do a show, which I think is great on its own, because people are learning the value of bringing their voice to radio and having it reach other people in order to make change in a productive, positive way.
Yeah, how did you choose, of all of those 700 plus hours of recordings, how did you pick the ones that you picked?
Well, it wasn't an easy thing. I had to go through all of my archives, and as I started to organize them all in genres, it became pretty clear as I watched the news and I got into the headlines of things that were going on in the world that we're all dealing with collectively, that they really helped, these shows particularly helped with a hindsight value of what we were facing today. For example, I'll give you an example. I was writing a book proposal for Cambridge University when Trump and Hillary were doing the campaign thing. And I was also hosting a politics show at the time. I had been asked to come on and do the host. So I was interviewing people relevant to the big fever going on in the campaigns. And so I had a very unique perspective, I believe, in what was happening at the time. And I wasn't so caught up in the emotional energy that was going on. It was so vibrant in the ether, so to speak. And I really believe that alternative media, which we don't hear so much about anymore, but at the time, we really did have quite a strong industry. And Alex Jones brought Donald Trump onto his show, which had millions and millions of listeners worldwide, really. And I believe that was part of a campaign tactic in order for him to address the millions of listeners that he did have. And throughout his campaign, because I was watching so carefully writing this proposal, it was really clear that he was speaking the speak to these alternative listeners that at the time had really been brought into a kind of information realm, if you will, that had to do with conspiracies, you know, anti-government talk, a lot of things that were brewing, and the numbers were growing very, very quickly. So these 20 conversations, I feel, were very relevant in this time frame that we were dealing with within the last few years, this post-Trump era, where everybody, there is so much social volatile energy bumping around out there that, you know, if you say the wrong thing on any platform, you know, you really have quite a harsh backlash. And so I don't think people are really being exposed to what really happened. I think it's being distracted because mainstream media doesn't want to give any attention to the alternative media, really, because that would mean that they would have to address the millions of listeners that do partake in alternative media. When I say alternative media, I'm talking about the hosts and hostesses that have radio shows that really talk about very important and productive topics. I know there's a lot of information out there. There's almost too much where you really have to vet for yourself to figure out what you're going to let in and what you're going to discern is going to land. And we all have that power of choice, but what it comes down to is really information and its value in the digital age is becoming so extraordinary that if we don't get a grasp on it quickly and really understand where these things come from, we're going to get kind of lost in it. So these 20 conversations came about by their ability to bring a reader into a topic, because each chapter is a different topic, that for the amount of pages that they are, gives the reader an opportunity to really open up their mind to see something differently. And I believe these 20 conversations really have the ability to open up a person's psyche and really give them kind of a lead in to maybe looking at things differently. Some people have said, oh, I already know this. This stuff is, you know, I do. I know what this is all about. I've heard this before, but it's useful. And then for the ones who haven't been exposed to this information, the 20 conversations really do open up a very ripe conversation space for them to be able to take a look at some things and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe the things I'm watching and taking in around me on a daily basis could be explained by something else. And this book offers a roadmap of sort into these different topics and weaves them together in a very deliberate way so that the reader gets exposed to different kinds of information and then also has different voices in there that lighten it up with healing, lighten it up with kindness, human character. And really, I hope I did a good job of balancing that out because some of the topics are really, some would consider heavy. Or this is really potent. Oh my gosh, I have to read this again. I can't believe this is happening. Well, that's okay. Right. Read it again and then go on to the next one and have a little bit of a healing moment where you take in the lighter side of life. So that's how it goes.
That's beautiful. And I mean, as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking like how, for me, I've come to mistrust the media, the mainstream media, and not really know like who to trust, what's real, you know, alternative facts, like how I think there's sort of this general feeling that we're getting scammed by, you know, mainstream media. It's so sad for me. Like I studied journalism when I was in college and it's a sad state of affairs, but do you feel like people have relied more heavily on alternative media because of that It's so hard to know who to
trust. Absolutely, absolutely. Over the years, when I first started, especially more towards the middle too, it was really clear that people were starting to say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Let me look a little deeper. And they would go into the information a little deeper and find, well, maybe that's not true. And Obama's administration made propaganda legal on U.S. citizens. I'm sure Trump is having a fantastic time using that law. And, you know, a lot of the things that have really helped to shape our digital age and the way we sort through and take in information has been internet laws. And a lot of them have changed drastically, especially since 9/11. 9/11 really was a gateway that opened up the world to a higher level of surveillance and a higher level of interference. Trusting and coming to terms with what you're given, you know, being suspicious is really a huge meme that's out there and has been out there since 9/11, where we got introduced to the big terrorism age. And, you know, we were really taught and shaped and groomed as a culture to be afraid and be suspicious. I mean, you really can't go to an airport nowadays and not see the branded logo, see something, say something. I mean, it's a marketing tactic like never before. So how do people take in this information and trust it? It's not just mainstream. I left alternative media because I felt like it had become a swamp of information, and it was really difficult for people to navigate. You know, and then you open up the ETs and you open up consciousness, and who do you believe and who do you listen to? And I started to notice a lot of people would just get in line and follow the leader and give away their power that way. And I thought, gosh, you know, as a Reiki master teacher with a healing arts background, it was really interesting to observe this behavior, because they were really just jumping on board with whoever was the most popular person at the time. And, oh, yes, this person must be right. And then somebody threw in reptilians and Archeans and whatever else you want to call, you know.
It gets a little crazy.
Yes, it got very hazy, and it was very difficult for people to navigate that. So I just said, you know what, I guess I've done my job. I've brought to the table a lot of really important voices. You know, Dr. Stephen Greer, he talks about his work. Phil Corso Jr., he talks about his work and in my book. And you do have some very legitimate speakers on these various topics that should be listened to, and perhaps just, you know, settle down into your energy and get grounded and really just take it on as a sacred task and get through it. But then you have to remember that life is always about balance, and you have to move, and you have to still live your life and pay your bills and function. So my hope for these 20 conversations is that they spark the inspiration for people to pick their favorite chapter in the book and go talk to the person they enjoy talking to the most and have a conversation about the information, and then let that spark its own natural, organic type, you know, evolution.
Cool. So you and I have the same kind of background. So I'm also a Reiki teacher. I've been teaching Reiki for 20 years, and I have a healing practice, and I teach in an energy medicine school, and I've been doing this healing work forever. And that's why my show is about healing. And it's so funny because what I notice on my radio show is that I feel like I get guests that have this kernel of truth in what they're saying, you know, and in my seat here on my end of the show, I feel like the same truths, the same knowledge, the same core principles are being spoken over and over again from different angles. Like there's many roads up the same mountain, you know. And I find this process of having my radio show to be totally mind expanding. Like I'm like, I just feel so excited. I get it. I'm like, oh my God, this person is saying the same bit of truth that I've been hearing, you know, or their angle on it. And it's kind of putting all the pieces together for me personally. And did you kind of find a similar thing when you were doing this too?
Absolutely. In fact, when I was having these one conversation a week for years, kind of, it was its own spiritual journey in a sense.
Yeah, you know, that's what's happening.
It's interesting to observe how I feel. I kind of missed it. It's like, wow, I really miss picking a person that I'd like to talk to and doing the hour conversation, because I, like you, I felt it was very important. And it is very important. And you're helping other people to discern that truth. And the healing arts background is something to hold very sacred because not everybody has that. And most people come from a non-healing arts background. And so it's very difficult for them to get over the hurdle of intellectual block of, you know, indoctrination and traditional type education, which teaches you there isn't anything else but the physical body, basically. Right. And healing arts is the opposite of that. So when you combine somebody who, I have a business background also, so when you combine somebody who has formal education of business and then you mix it with healing arts, it really is kind of a unique equation I have found, because most people who are good at healing arts are really bad with money. And most people that are really good with money are really bad with healing. We need kind of a middle ground. So we can balance this out. And when you feel that intuitive aha happen, you know that you're on a track where it's important to pay attention and everybody's path is correct. That's the thing that I really found through the 13 years I was on the air, is that everybody's path is correct. It's for them. It's what they're doing. There is to be no judgment on or where anybody is at any given time, because wherever they are is just cosmically perfectly aligned. And it's not mumbo jumbo talk. And it really upsets me when I hear people say that, because in the alternative media world, what's happened is they have tended to strike down and strike at the healing art aspect of information, and how information itself actually affects somebody's energy field is an important conversation. Because if you look around at mainstream media and it's filled with fear mongering and it's filled with pointing the finger and the blame game and the scandal and all the stuff that goes on, it's really kind of worrisome to see how our culture is going to be shaped by the years of digital information, the internet. We have never really been at any point in the whole history of humanity exposed to so much technology at this point. So I think we're going to see kind of a tipping point where people come back into a desperate need to reground their energy into the earth and into each other in a way that we've really been severed. Technology has done a great deal of damage, I believe, to our youth and to the younger generations. It has really captured them and held them captive. And I'm really quite interested to see how these kids grow up. And, you know, we see school shootings, which I think are politicalized. I think they're definitely events that happen, and then they take it and they use it to run their agendas. But we're not even having the conversation about how video games and technology play into the psyches of these kids that are doing these things. And every household in America, I guarantee you, has some form of child playing these violent video games, and nobody's having this conversation. It's just take away the guns. So the first thing I tell people when they get into these information games is just know who you are, be very grounded, stay very still, and just let the information come in and go through and take what resonates and leave the rest. And then ask yourself, why is this information finding its way to me? Is there some way I can be of service or to help? Like, for example, you doing your radio show, I'm sure, is a form of help, reaching out to people listening and, you know, offering some kind of way of formulating a different path of understanding around the information. I know it's a lot. We have a very short segment tonight, but it's a lot to take in. But this book really does help, because it gives readers an insight into some very interesting and fascinating and thought-provoking topics. And you can take your time through it. You can skip, oh, I feel like reading this today. I want to skip to chapter 15 and read something else. Because some of it is really, really, it's so incredible and it's so mind-blowing. It really does change, offer you a moment of change. And some people have said they have had to go back and reread and reread and reread, and they enjoy it because each time they do it, they get some other perspective or tidbit that they missed before. And they really have started, the feedback I've gotten so far is that the book really does open up a question mark into what a person believes is really going on, and offers a roadmap, like I said, through some interesting topics and weaves them through so that you can connect the dots in a different way that maybe perhaps you never have before.
I love it. I loved what you said too about sort of choosing how you take it in. And I think, you know, as a sensitive person, like a healer, so many healers that I know are very sensitive, and they're very sensitive to the violence and the hatred and, you know, that's so prevalent in the media. And I, for myself, I take pretty long breaks from media. Like I'll go like months without really dialing into it. And then I go through a phase where I get more involved in it. And I sort of unplug from my technology. I spend a lot of time outside. And I find that I have to balance that way in order to kind of deal with it. And I know if something really important happens, somebody's going to tell me, you know, did you hear blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I kind of, you know, I kind of stick with that. And I loved what you said too about really allowing, you know, allowing it to come in and resonate, you know, how I feel like what of that is true. What of that, what part of that feels true to me, you know, like there's sometimes truth inside, you know, the, even the mainstream media's kind of big stories, you know, there's a kernel of truth in there. And I find when I pay attention, I can generally feel what that is. I'm really drawn to the part of your book that talks about how human consciousness and technology, the evolution of human consciousness and the evolution of technology are really sort of tied together and sort of moving in tandem. Can you say more about that?
Sure. Well, it's true. I mean, yeah. Technology really has become so ingrained in our human experience. I mean, anybody that says, oh, no, not me, probably has a cell phone that they look at least once or twice a day, or an iPad that they take pictures with, or we have all of this ability to connect with everybody instantly. And there's no doubt that it's changing people's ability to connect, people's ability to socialize, people's ability to forgive and be empathetic. I mean, I'm really concerned for my grandchildren. My kids, you know, were raised outside, but they still are exposed to technology. It's just so infiltrated in our world that we really don't have any choice. And we have these things coming on the market for smart homes and big, big private industry infrastructures being built around this country, especially, I'm sure, in different parts of the world it's happening too. But what really worries me is the level of invasion into a person's privacy, where, you know, there's still something romantic about having your own thoughts and being able right. to put those thoughts on paper or paint them. You know, as an artist, I do a lot of that moving energy through into my paintings or my photographs. And at the end of the 13 years, it's moving into becoming more of an artist and moving out into the world as that. It has been very interesting for me to observe in myself what happens when I move that emotional energy out through me into a creative way. And I can't speak about it enough. I think it's a solution. I think most sensitives, most empaths are very creative, and they have to move the energy out some way. And if they don't, then they're going to end up having some kind of dysfunction form in their life. But yeah.
I think it's creativity and service, you know, that. And in the light of service, I would love, since we're almost at the end, sadly, for you to tell people how to get your book. I know you have a trip coming up. What else can you tell us about how to get
in
touch with
you? Thank you. I would love to. You can reach me on my website, hilaryramo.com. And you can buy the book. It's available on Amazon. It's also available on Amazon UK. And at the end of this month, it will be available on Kindle version. So they can find it on there. I do have a trip coming up to Egypt with the megalithic expert, Maria Wheatley. She's the UK's number one expert on Stonehenge and all these great, wonderful things. I was just with her in England in May this past year. And we decided to take the Stonehenge energy and go to Egypt and visit the pyramids. We have private time at the Great Pyramid. We have private time at the Paws of the Sphinx. And we have private time at the Isis Temple. So we're going to take a pilgrimage in a private boat down the Nile. And we're going to do some readings. And we're going to do a lot of fun things. And Maria's going to be available to talk about these megalithic structures in ways nobody has really ever heard before. And she's going to tie in how Stonehenge is related to Giza and the different pyramids. And we've very much handpicked our sites and how we're going to do things. And we're working with a 5-star travel company, very safe, very luxurious, and it's going to put you in a different time and space. And I've been to Egypt 5 times, so this will be a beautiful return home for me. And I can't tell you enough. We're already almost full. We're only taking 20 people. So if you're interested,
great.
Go to my website. You have to go to my blog to get the information. So you go on my website under blogs, go to Hillary's blog, and you'll find the link that says Egypt with Maria and Hillary. And you'll find all the information there. And if you want to sign up, sign up. Just do it. And if we need to work with you to help pay for it, we will.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Hillary, for sharing your wisdom of the radio with me. And I so appreciate all of your experience and everything that you've learned. And thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's been a pleasure. And keep doing the good work.
Thanks, Sunny. And thank you, all of you guys out there, for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time here on Empower Radio.